This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty.
Now we'll throw it. It's caught. Tez Johnson inside the outside of the 15 on a juke. To the 10, to the 5. He got to the pylon. Touchdown, Tez Johnson.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty.
Back to throw, Gabriel steps up, going to run, got a block, 10, 5, Dylan Gabriel, touchdown Oregon.
On the Odyssey app and 1080.
Really in the name of
The Fan.
Good afternoon, welcome in. Danny and Dusty, this is an Otzen edition today, and no Danny Meringue, because as Jeff Rust put it, this is a truncated version of Danny and Dusty because we have Oregon Ducks basketball coming up. Rust busted out the thesaurus. I like it. It is a truncated version. We will only be on for 1 hour today because Ducks and A&M. Hoops. Catch the fever.
Yes, and the only two things that are not two blocks away from Danny's house are the studio and Moda Center.
Yeah, so I said, Danny looked at me yesterday and was like, all right, so 1 hour show, no Blazer game. I said, dude, I got this. I'll be in Eugene. I'm only here for an hour, and I brought a friend down with me today because it is rivalry week, and that open got me going, so I decided to bring on a guy who has never lost to the University of Washington. Cole Linehan, my co-host on the program podcast, he came down to practice today, a former Duck defensive lineman, and somebody who's never lost to UW.
Yes, that is a good claim to fame to have, I suppose, when you come to talk about the Huskies. But, you know, we actually started the streak in 2004, was the first year we beat them, and then we went on a 12-year run. So there's many of guys just like me that can say, hey, we never lost to Washington. But, no, it's great to be here. Great to be down in Autzen. We've checked out practice just now, and, you know, it's great to be a Duck.
It is. It is. I mean, number one team in the country. We talk about this often on the program podcast, which we have our Dennis Dixon episode is out right now. Dennis Dixon, kind enough, teammate of yours, who is part of this streak as well, that went 12 seasons. But we've talked a lot about kind of that pride that you guys have of watching the number one team in the country. I mean, you were on that 07 team where you guys rose up to number two in the country, but things are humming right now with Dan.
They are. You know, it's everywhere, right? And just the way he does things, you know, he brings former players in, he makes us feel like we're part of it, you know, and, you know, not to say we deserve that, but it's, you know, it's, we've seen a little bit of everything since the Mike Bellotti era, right? Yeah. Because Mike Bellotti, when he was here, he had, you know, he was here forever.
Yeah.
Right. And the same coaches were here, and you knew when you came back in, you see all these familiar faces. Well, that's a lot has changed in 20 years. And we have been through quite a few coaching changes. And so, you know, walking the practice here, there is still a few people that are involved. But, you know, he does a really good job of making sure we feel like we're part of it, making sure it feels like home. And it goes a long ways for us old guys.
Yeah, it does. And this is a perfect time to bring the old guys back. It's Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
And this is something that I think if you think of like the traditions of football, football on NFL on Thanksgiving Day is one. But you and I are high school coaches. You're the head coach at Banks. And one thing that we always strive to do is high school football practicing on Thanksgiving week is the best. Football and Thanksgiving go together hand in hand.
Yeah, and that's always the goal. We always talk to our players, right, about if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, you did something right.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, like I said, I'm happy to be here, but I wish I wasn't, right?
Yeah.
You know, we lost a tough one in the semifinals, and so my schedule did clear up this week.
It did.
You know, Thanksgiving weekend is good for big time for college you know, just like kind of that building of the team too, because these guys aren't going home.
Yeah.
Right. And you learn very quickly that when you play, you know, we play at this level, is you don't get home, you don't go home for Christmas. You don't go home for Thanksgiving, you know, and so you start building your own traditions with your coaching staff, with your teammates, and you spend a lot of time that you traditionally do with your family, with your guys.
Yeah. That must be hard for a guy like you, who you're from the state of Oregon, you play at the University of Oregon, but then all of a sudden Thanksgiving week you're like, yes, sorry,
yeah,
I'm down here, I'm not coming home. Because it's easier for the guys who come from California or Texas or wherever, from all corners of the country, to be like, yeah, no, I'm up here, out of sight, out of mind. But that must be a different adjustment for those local guys.
It is, you know, and it's funny, you know, people say, oh, you only live 2 hours away. Well, when you're in a grind of a season, you might as well be 12 hours away. You might as well be across the country, because you're not going home, right? Yeah. And so, but it's fun to do new things, yep. You know, it's fun to experience these holidays in a different way and see how other people do it too.
It probably saved like a Thanksgiving fight though, because your freshman year, your brother was playing at Oregon State and you were playing at Oregon. Keeping you guys separate at Thanksgiving 2 days before a Civil War game was probably in the best interest of everybody at that time.
Yeah, I think that was by design, right? My mom maybe didn't want us both home, but they were torn as well. So, no, it's a good time. I mean, it's great to be, you know, to be as good as we are this late in the season, right? Yep. It's one thing if you are fighting to be in a bowl game, or, you know, you're having a losing season, right? But everything is a little more fun when you're the number one team in the country.
You know, the Thanksgiving traditions, one of them in the state of Illinois, and this one came across, Football Scoop had this article up, and I think this is awesome. Illinois State earned in the FCS playoffs a home game in the 24-team bracket. They should be hosting Southeast Missouri State this weekend, but they're going on the road. And I think this is awesome, because you are a high school coach. The meaning of playing at a location and playing on Thanksgiving weekend is an important one. Brock Spack is the coach at Illinois State. He said, no, we're going to take this on the road, because the Illinois State Championship Finals are at Illinois State Stadium. And he said, no, those teams earned that opportunity to play for a championship on our field. The least we can do is go on the road in the first round of the playoffs, no less, to go and play somebody somewhere else.
Man, he must be really confident that they're going to go on the road and win. You know, it's, I mean, but that goes a long way, obviously, in the state and the community, because it is special. Like, you have those, we don't have that tradition in Oregon where the state championship is the same place. They always try to kind of do a neutral site where it's comfortable for everybody or in between everybody. But I do love those stories of different states that say, hey, we're going to play the state championship here. And I wish we did that, right? I wish we had that where you just knew where you're going, right? And we have some stadiums in Oregon that are built for things like that, like Hillsborough Stadium. Like, they do have the 6A game. They went away from it. You know, they used to play at Autzen Stadium or at Reser. I think that venue just doesn't maybe feel like the best venue for a state championship game, just because you're not going to fill up a 50,000, you know, stadium.
No, but Providence Park was always great when they had it at Providence Park, but they don't do football there anymore unless it's Oregon State playing Montana State. But I would love it if it went like a full day of football morning through the night, of having every championship game there. We see that, you know, in Dallas, they do that for the Texas State Championship at Jerry's World, which is in a dome, and I get it, right? You're in a dome. You don't have to worry about, you know, the weather or the elements or anything like that. But to have, like, even if you split it up and you went half at Hillsborough Stadium and the other half at Providence Park, it would be awesome to just say, no, you earn the right to go and play at one specific location, instead of we're going to meet halfway for all of the championships across the state.
And then for planning too, right?
Yeah.
Fans will plan, you know, people could travel in, they know exactly where you're going.
Heck yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say, hey, on a Sunday evening, we're playing in wherever, Medford.
We're playing
Bend,
anywhere, Cottage Grove. You never know where you're going to be playing. So. Well, I'm glad to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about the Oregon Ducks. This Rivalry Week, what it means to everybody. We will have our picks today. We will have the NFL picks at 12:30. We need to get Danny's picks in locked in. This show's been on a heater lately, so we'll have those coming up at 12:30. We will send you off to Oregon Ducks basketball coming up at the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. We got a one-hour turn-and-burn show before we hand you over to Oregon versus Texas A&M in the... What is it? What is this tournament called? I always mess it up. The Players, Rust. What is this? What is it called?
Let's see here. It is the Players Era Festival.
Yeah, there
and
it is.
This is the Power Tournament. I believe there is also an Impact Tournament.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. This is the NIL tournament, right? That's what we all yeah. just know it
this
as.
Is a keep the kids engaged by paying a bunch of money to yes. play hard tournament.
Yeah, effective. Yeah. Effective yeah, strategy.
Absolutely.
Effective strategy. But you know what? You take me to somewhere right there, because playing in bowl games was always something that you guys looked forward to as players. Let's dive into that coming up next, because Deion Sanders said something today that I think a lot of people can get behind. And I want to bounce it off of you, a guy who you earned those bowl opportunities and everybody went and played. This is Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. All right, we got a short show today. We are off in 40 minutes from now, handing it over to Joey Mack for Oregon versus Texas A&M basketball in the Players Era Power Tournament, or Players Era Festival Power Tournament. Oregon, Texas A&M, undefeated Ducks basketball. At the top of the hour, Cole Linehan is sitting in with me, my co-host on the program podcast, former Duck. You played defensive line here 2004 to 2008. And bowl games were always kind of the special event for you guys. Every bowl game was a little bit different, depending on, you know, the Holiday Bowl or Vegas. Where do you went to the Sun Bowl
Sun
as well?
Bowl. Spent some time in El Paso, Texas. Yes.
Beautiful El Paso, yes. Texas. Everybody loves playing in El Paso. But it was always a sense of pride to make it to a bowl game for you guys. And now we are at the point where with the money that is at hand in the NFL, the common trend is, boy, I'm making you sound really old and being like, back in your day,
yeah,
you played in a bowl game. Was it? Did anybody sit out of bowl games when you were playing?
Never. It was never even. I didn't even know that was an option. Right. I mean, we lived for going to these bowl games, and then we'd get these packages. Right. They'd have like the bowl gifts.
Yeah.
And it was like one time we felt like we were given something, right? We got we were so pumped about like a 42-inch TV or
a fossil watch.
Right? We went to the Brute Sun Bowl and we got some shaving cream and those kind of things, right? We were living for it. And so it was weird to see a couple years down the road, you know, that they just made it feel like the bowl games weren't that big.
Yeah.
Right? And it adds up, I guess, for those guys that don't want to go to the Vegas Bowl and get their butts kicked by BYU and they have a shot to maybe go. But it wasn't even in our minds at all to opt out. And so I was kind of hoping that might incentivize people with the NIL, right? Yeah. There has to be something worked in that contract now that says, hey, you know, we're paying you all this money. You're playing every game.
Yep.
Right? And I hope that is the case, because, you know, it's going to change, obviously, with the playoffs. Like, guys hopefully want to compete and want to play in this playoff run that they're going on. But the NIL, and you see things popping up, like the basketball stuff that the Ducks are playing in,
yep.
right? They have to find ways, because it's not – people aren't just living for those $500 gift cards from Best Buy, you know, getting us through. They need to find something new.
Well, that leads us to Colorado. Coach Prime, Deion Sanders at Colorado – he was asked today whether or not senior day for the Colorado Buffaloes against Oklahoma State would be the final time we see Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, two guys that haven't just hinted. They've said, no, we're going to the NFL.
Yeah.
They haven't been hiding behind it. Those are the epitome of guys that would sit out a bowl game in that opportunity for, you know, to go and start training for the NFL. And this is like, you can criticize Deion for a lot of different things, but one thing is that he says, we brought guys here to play, and they're going to play. And so what he said is that, no, this will not be the last time you see Shedeur or Travis Hunter in a Buffs uniform. Alluding to, they would be playing in a bowl game, because losing to Kansas this past weekend, now they need two of three teams to lose this next week. Arizona State, BYU, and Iowa State. Two of those three need to lose for Colorado to get to the Big 12 championship game. And obviously, if you play in a Big 12 championship game, that changes. You're going to play in that because you have a college football playoff trip on the line. He's saying that they're going to be playing in a bowl game, which if Deion can get those two guys to do that, to me, I think that is a big push in the right direction for the rest of college football.
Yeah, you just don't know how it's going to go, right? Because the bowl games have already diminished in what their meaning, and now they're going to do it even more with just the, because everybody's just thinking about the 12 teams.
Yep.
And so if you think that people are opting out now, you know, come December, those top dogs that are playing in the Cheez-It Bowl, yep, or whatever the bowl is, right, they're going to be opting out. So, I mean, it is good for Deion to put it out there, but you know that there's money involved. There's, you know, there is absolutely money involved. Like, these kids aren't just doing it out of the kindness of their heart and their love for the Buffalo that they've been there for 1 year, right? I mean, like, the loyalty is not like it used to be. So loyalty is the one thing right now.
I think Deion, and this is also quintessential Deion, in that he can say this right now and he has the fallback of, well, we were going to the Big 12 championship game. And he could frame it and spin it to, no, they don't need to play in the bowl game because they don't need to play in the bowl game. They've got bigger aspirations that they need to go and they need to look at. If those two losses don't come Colorado's way and they're not in the Big 12 championship game, I still think it's an outside chance that you do see Shador and Travis Hunter in a Cheez-Its-type bowl, because there is nothing that will happen in that game. And this is where a lot of these players lie, is that there's nothing that will happen in that game that improves their stock, but a lot can hurt it in that you could get injured. And if you have seen Shador Sanders play behind the Colorado offensive line, I'm surprised he hasn't been hurt yet, because he takes so many hits. And if you put him in a bowl game, what is the benefit of those guys playing?
But also another side of it, too, is guys would opt out in the past, right, because they were worried about losing everything that was in front of them.
Right.
Right. And so they were worried. They were going to making $2,000 a month on housing check to hopefully making some big bucks. Well, these guys have money now.
You get that.
You know, I mean, that's just look at, like, Bo Nix is a perfect example last year, right? He decides to stick around at Oregon because he probably made more money in a Duck uniform than he would if he got drafted in the third or fourth round, you know, and it worked out perfectly for him because he had an unbelievable season, went on, got drafted, and first round pick, and now he's going to be rookie of the year potentially, right? But he stayed because it was for a financial reason, which is not the case, you know, years past.
Yeah, I think NIL is so good for that reason alone, in that you are going to have guys that dangling carrot of money in the NFL and the financial security that you're going to have moving forward. It's not as great as come back for one more year, be a legend where you're at, and then you can improve your draft stock. And if you don't, you still have money that you could fall back on, and you're going to be okay. That is going to be huge for a lot of guys. And look, the NFL's got to love it too. The NFL has got to love that in the NBA, that these guys aren't going to be reaching and coming out early, and teams aren't going to have to take big swings to say, maybe we can develop this guy. The guys who are going to come out are going to be the ones that are ready. And they are going to, and I hope that what we see is, guys, I think Anthony Richardson, the quarterback for the Colts, is a great example of this, that he came out early and it was like, yeah, now you're a project in the NFL. If you were at Florida still, if he was in this draft class, he would be the top quarterback in this draft class right now. And he would have had two more college years of college under his belt, and he would be exponentially more impressive with his resume coming out of college, and you're not going to have to take a reach, hope he develops, and take a flyer on a guy.
And hopefully we won't hear about any of those sad stories of the guys that do leave and don't even get drafted.
Yeah.
Right? Because they feel like maybe they come from nothing. Maybe they, you know, maybe this is, they feel like this is their shot and they need to go start providing for their family. Right? But then they don't get drafted. They don't make it in the league. And then they're wishing they, you know, they wouldn't have taken any money from an agent.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is some positives. Obviously, I know everybody has their opinions on NIL and where college football is going because, well, really no one knows where college football is going.
Nope.
But the business side of it, there is some positives in making it for good football.
What was your favorite bowl game that you guys played in? Holiday, Sun, Vegas? Are those?
Well, I'll
three?
Tell you my least favorite, which might surprise people, is Vegas.
Oh, really?
You know, you go to Vegas in December. It's one of the first bowl games, which was great because you got some time afterwards, right? But they put us up in the Venetian. We weren't very good either. And then, so here we're at the Venetian. We're playing BYU, who's staying at the Golden Nugget, right? Our rules were a little probably less, I would say, than BYU in terms of like our approach to the game. It was cold as hell the whole time. The wind was ripping at every practice. This is how I remember it. You know, we would go out. We'd have a good time in Vegas. I don't think BYU was doing the same.
I don't think they can.
You know, we had some team events, and I believe at the time, for some reason this number sticks out, I think 45 of them were married. We were not married. And so there was just like this sense of maybe they were more prepared than we were come around.
The unfair, you know, advantage of playing BYU, yeah, in the Vegas Bowl. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that also the flaming tennis ball helmets that you guys wore in that,
yes,
Vegas Bowl?
That is when the yellow helmets got broken out. And it sucks, right? I was coming off of a second. Well, no, sorry. I was coming off of a surgery. And so I was fat as can be. I mean, I was like, I went from boot, crutches to let's, and I wasn't supposed to play that much because I started before I got hurt, and then Matt Tuina ended up getting hurt, so I went from, it was going to be limit me from like 12 to 20 plays. I played like 70 snaps. I re-broke my foot in the game, but didn't know it until I got home. But so it was just one of those deals where, you know,
not a great experience,
but, you know, thinking about a good experience, which is you know, people might be surprised by this one as well, is the Sun Bowl.
Oh.
In El Paso. You know, for a season that absolutely got away from us in 2007, right, where we were ranked, we thought we were going to New Orleans to play in the national championship with Dennis Dixon as our QB, for losing three straight and then ended up playing South Florida in, yeah, El Paso, Texas. I mean, I'll say this. They treat you so well there. We, you know, we had a good time. We blew the doors off of South Florida, which was fun. But it was just a good time with your teammates. And I mean, the food was unbelievable. The treatment was unbelievable. So
did they take you guys to the Justin Boot Factory?
We did. That was quite the scene. Seeing 100 football players, you know, trying to pick out the best boots. I still have mine.
You do?
Yeah. No, I break them out on special occasions, mostly like themed parties, I'd say. I'm not much of a boot guy, but no, it was cool. Like, that was a fun time to be. It was interesting to be in El Paso on Christmas Day.
Yeah. CBS game, which was always a little bit different. Yeah. Like,
that's a cool stadium. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Holiday Bowl was fun. We played Oklahoma State. Now, that was my senior year. Gaslamp Ditch was a good time to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, San Diego is a great city, but that ranks number two for you.
Yeah, I would say.
All right.
You know, I mean, the second time we played in the Holiday Bowl was a lot of fun. You know, that was just a fun game to be a part of. It was Blotty's last year, my last year for playing, and so there's a lot of great memories there. But
all right. Who knew? Vegas down at the bottom.
Dude, I mean, it's got to be way better now.
Sun Bowl at the top.
It's got to be way better now because of the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously a bigger bowl game. But, I mean, that stadium was terrible.
Yeah.
The old one. It was far away from the town. It was far away from the strip. And
the wind. Know, people don't talk about that wind in Vegas.
When you're practicing in high school, just freezing your...
No. Not fun.
Yeah, not fun.
Not fun. All right, Cole's going to stick around with us. But coming up next, we got to get our picks in. We do not have a show on Thursday because it is Thanksgiving. We will talk Oregon Ducks at 12:45 because Dan Lanning addressed the media last night, and he mentioned playing in November. Hard to do. But coming up next, our NFL picks against the spread. Just got Danny's picks in. Rust has been feverishly working towards his as well. First, though, is Bakuna with SportsCenter.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint. There's nothing can
hold me when I hold. All right, we usually do it at Thursdays at 2 o'clock, but we don't have a show Thursday because it's Thanksgiving. It is now time for our NFL picks against the spread. Rust, how did you do last week?
2-2 again.
Okay.
I've kind of cooled off these last few weeks.
Put you at 25-21-2 on the season?
Yeah, still not too bad.
That's a good... Hey, you're making money right now, Rust.
Right? Exactly.
You're making money.
If I actually gambled.
Well, you probably should with the way your picks are going right now.
Yeah, that's all I need. It's another thing to waste my money on.
Danny went 3. That's when you start losing.
Yeah.
Danny went 3-1 last week. He is 29-18-1 on the season. I had a 3-1 weekend again. You know what? The Vikings, come on. They were up 24-10 entering the fourth quarter, and they don't cover 3.5. That was my lone loss last week. I'm 32-15-1. The show is cooking right now. Time to get to our picks. Russ, you went 2-2. I'm going to let you take the floor here. I'm going to let you go first, my man.
I'm going to start out with, is this one of the Thanksgiving Day games? I believe maybe, yes, the evening game. The Miami Dolphins heading to Lambeau Field, where it's expected to be sub-freezing temperatures.
Ooh.
Green Bay, 3.5-point favorites. I don't have any faith that Miami can go in there in those cold conditions. They're not playing great anyway, so I'm taking the Packers, -3.5.
The Packers, huh?
The Packers.
All right. My first pick, I am going Packers -3.5 as well. I don't like Miami going up in their white uniforms up to Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra,
on
Thanksgiving and winning a football game. Give me the Pack -3.5. Danny's going to trail that one as well. Clean sweep, which definitely means Miami is going to win. Everybody right. on the show has Green Bay -3.5. Pick number two.
Next, I'm heading to MetLife Stadium where the Jets are hosting the Seahawks. Look, the Jets are doo-doo, and Seattle's Ooh. Playing a little bit better. It's the 2.5-point road favorites. I'm taking Seattle -2.5.
Seattle, I looked at that line. I wanted that line. I had to go against it. I don't know. There's just something about the Jets that terrify me and going across the country. My second pick, I'm going to Eagles +3 at Baltimore. Baltimore on a short week, having to go back from West Coast to East Coast, taking on a Eagles team that is going to be sitting pretty. They do a short trip for Philly. I like the Eagles to win and cover 3 points. They are 3-point dogs. That would be... a road dog, Jeff. There we go. There we go. Danny is going Chargers -2 with his second pick. Chargers coming off a loss, licking their wounds, trying to get back on the winning track. He's going to take the Chargers in Atlanta -2. Pick number three.
We've got the 49ers heading to Buffalo, where it is also expected to be chilly and sub-freezing temperatures for Sunday night football. Look, Buffalo right now, they're like Hansel, they're so hot right now. So I'm going to take those Bills -7.
All right. Wow. That's a big number.
That's a big number.
It's a big number. All right, my third pick, I'm going to go Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield laying 6 again on the road. Never a doubt against the New York Giants. The Panthers are feeling themselves. They push the Chargers to the brink, but I think they turn into a pumpkin again. Tampa is getting healthy. Baker Mayfield's playing at a really high level. He did the Tommy Cutlets celebration in his own house last weekend. Give me Baker and the Bucks to cover 6-point favorites on the road in Carolina.
Let's see here. What Danny's third pick? It looks like he's joining you with the Eagles +3 at the Ravens.
Yep.
Let's see here. For my final pick, I always got to end it with the Jacksonville Jaguars, my team of choice. They're kind of like the Jets right now. They're also doo-doo. I wish I had my Anthony Newman drop ready, but I don't. And they're hosting the Houston Texans, who are not the same Houston Texans that we saw last year. But I still trust them to beat the Jags by more than 5 points. So I'm taking the Texans -5.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. My fourth and final pick, I like the over. 48.5 to get our Thanksgiving Day started. I like the Lions and Bears to go over 48.5. A points of Palooza. It's going to start slow. We're all going to be like, what in the world was Hera thinking? And then we're going to get points. It'll be in the third and fourth quarter. We're going to get a lot of touchdowns going back and forth. Give me 48.5, Lions, Bears. Hell, I could see the Lions just scoring 48 by themselves.
Yeah,
so
I first looked at that game and I thought, boy, but you know, on short week and stuff, early Thanksgiving morning, you never know. So I stayed away, but I was ready to take those Lions minus 10.
Yeah. Oh, Lions minus 10?
I was ready to.
You're an animal.
Yeah, right? I like those big spreads.
All right, Danny's final pick of the week. He is going Bucks minus 6 as well against Carolina. So he's got Pack minus 3.5, Chargers minus 2, Bucks minus 6, Eagles plus 3. I've got the Packers minus 3.5, Eagles, Bucks as well, and then Lions, Bears over 48.5. Rust, you have got
Packers
Green
minus
Bay.
3.5. Yeah, Seattle yep. minus 2.5 at the Jets. Buffalo minus 7 hosting the Niners. And the Texans minus 5 at Jacksonville.
This is the first week, Rust. I don't feel confident in our picks. What's going on with this?
Right? I don't know. We're I feel pretty good about a couple of these.
Show's on a heater.
That's always the
show's
kiss of
on
death,
a heater.
Though, too.
It really is. All right. We will wrap up this radio program for the day in the next segment. It's a weird thing to say. We have to hand it off to Oregon Ducks basketball as they take on number 21 Texas A&M in the Players Era Festival Power Tournament from Las Vegas, Nevada. We will end it with a little bit more of a preview of Oregon and Washington as Cole Linehan joins us. We're going to talk about winning in November, a tough thing to do. This is Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Getting set to hand you off to Oregon Ducks basketball as the Ducks are entering the Players Era Festival. And it is tipping off in down in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the NIL tournament. We were talking about this as Cole Linehan is with me today. Danny, with the day off, as we... I said, don't drive 2 hours for a one-hour show. All right, we're going to make this happen. Cole and I were down here taking an Oregon practice. Listen to the program pod, by the way. Tell yeah, your friends about it.
Absolutely.
Wherever you listen to your podcast. But we were talking about this Players Era Festival. It is unique to say the least. Each school gets $1 million for their NIL collective just for playing in it. Okay. Then there are bonuses. $500,000 to the champion, $250,000 to the runner-up, $150,000 for third place, $100,000 for fourth place.
Wow.
That's a difference maker,
that's
man.
That's a difference maker. Hopefully the schools are supplying you know, people that teach them how to do their taxes after all this stuff, too.
They do.
Do they? That's
they
good.
Do. Yeah. Financial literacy is part of a lot of the school's NIL and their collectives now. And like, hey, we are going to be giving you more money than you know what to do with.
Yeah.
This is how you should manage.
And you're going to be taxed in different states now and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I wonder if that is, if that's how it works with NIL.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. Probably
because
not.
your name, image, and likeness is yeah. kind of tied in into Eugene. Because in the NFL, like the jock taxes, mm-hmm. you get a paycheck for working in different states. You got to pay those state taxes for each week. I would not want to be a professional athlete. Well, we wouldn't. I would, but we talk about how do these guys always go broke? That's how.
Yeah.
That and then people scamming them that they know very well.
I remember I was at my buddy's place who was playing the league, and it was around tax time, and I just looked like a you know this thickest book I've ever seen. I said, "What is that?" He's like, "That's my taxes." I'm like, why is it so thick? He goes, because I get taxed at every state I play in, and we played in Canada this year, and so we just got absolutely drilled by the Canadian
oh,
tax.
No.
So it's not as easy. You're not turbo-taxing that.
No. No, you're not going to be able to do that one on your own.
Yeah.
Not going to be able to do that one on your own, unless you're an accounting major. Maybe that's what gets you going there, is if you're an accounting major. All right, we've got the college football playoff rankings that are coming out tonight. This is a big one, as the SEC ate itself alive over the past weekend after complaining about how many teams they thought they deserved to have in. Well, Alabama lost, Ole Miss lost, Texas A&M lost, and now they have havoc in their conference. it will be very interesting to see where the pecking order is. How far does Indiana fall in the college football playoff rankings? I don't expect Oregon to move, but, you know, who knows what they may think about the Ohio State's win. I don't know. We've seen weirder things happen. Oregon should not move. I bet our top four is exactly the same with Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State beat up on Indiana, but people expected that. And I'm sure the people in the committee expected that, too. They did it at home. You know, I mean, we're not going anywhere as far as we're going to keep that number one ranking. We're the only team that's still undefeated, you know, in all the land. And so it is interesting that the AP put Indiana at 10, so it's kind of like right on that edge, right?
Yeah.
And so how much does that influence this committee when they're sitting around asking about, you know, talking about how bad Indiana looked in the shoe? It was what you want, I guess, for the end of the year, just absolute chaos in the top 25 with all these teams losing.
I am an agent of chaos. I absolutely love it. As it pertains to the Oregon Ducks, they were idle last week. They get one last shot before a Big Ten championship game, and Ducks still don't know who they're going to play in the Big Ten championship game. If Ohio State wins, it will be the Buckeyes. If the Buckeyes lose and Penn State wins, it will be Penn State. If Ohio State and Penn State lose and Indiana wins, it will be Indiana. If all three of them lose, it's still Ohio State.
Yeah.
So those are the scenarios that Oregon is looking at as of right now. It kind of is careening down towards the road of playing Ohio State for a second time in the Big Ten championship game, but the Ducks have to take care of their business against the Washington Huskies. And Dan Lanning talked about this yesterday in his college football or his weekly availability. The November grind that we have talked about a lot, and winning is the most important thing.
It's always about performance, right? It's always about what we're able to do on the field. So again, I think I've said it several times, motivation's overrated, right? Like, our guys have to want to go out there and execute at a really high level. You know, since the beginning of the season, we talked about playing our best football at the end of November. Well, we're there, right? So this is our opportunity to go play our best football against a good team.
That's an interesting...
especially from, like, the king of motivator. To say that motivation is overrated, you know, like, he spends a crazy amount of time on that. Yeah. Maybe it's not him. Maybe it's his team that does that. But he's all about the motivator.
The Michigan jump around at Wisconsin. Yeah, yeah. He's fine.
And he's done it to perfection so far.
So good at pushing those buttons.
Yeah, I mean, November football is just all about how healthy you are and how good of football you're playing, right? I mean, we talked about it on our podcast. You know, we snuck away with a win in Wisconsin for three, you know, with a team that we should have maybe beat by more. But, hey, in the end, it's a win, right? And this bye week came at kind of a unique time where traditionally you might think, who wants a bye week right at the very end of the season before you play one last game? It's like, no, we actually have a bye week. And it's right before signing day, so the coaches were able to get out in front of those last second guys that are maybe, you know, getting money offers or whatever they are to go other places.
Yeah.
They were able to get face to face with them. They were to get a little healthier and hopefully go on a run of, you know, four more games, five more games, depending on how things shake out. But it was it was a good time to have an idle week to get healthy.
It was a reset. And it was having eight games in a row, all conference games. That's a gauntlet.
Yeah,
no other team in the country had to go through it, and Oregon was faced and tasked with going through eight straight weeks before hitting that bye week. But then you have a bye, and again, if they play their cards right, they could be setting up for another run of five games after this. But it starts with the University of Washington, and all eyes will be on the Oregon Ducks against UW, because if they go into a Big Ten championship game with a clean slate, that sets you up so much better for any of the seeding that happens. And then it becomes, if you win the Big Ten championship, you are the number one overall seed. You get that first round bye, and that's going to be important. I know there's a lot of people that are talking about, being the five seed may actually be the easier path. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
You got to play an extra game.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to play an extra game in November, December.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about how hard November football is. Well, December football is even harder. So, this is a big week. Obviously, rivalry week with Washington, a team that's kind of had our number, as we all remember, last year, losing twice to them. And so I know it's a different team. We're going to hopefully see a freshman quarterback in Autzen, which I know they're not really – they're playing it pretty close to the vest who they're playing, but I anticipate to see the freshmen.
They are playing coy with whether it will be Will Rogers, the Mississippi State transfer, who's been the starter all season long, or Damon Williams, who they brought in the second half last week and let Damon Williams run the show. I find it really hard to believe that you benched the senior that you brought in for an entire half and then you just say, no, we're not going to look to the future now.
And they've won six games, right? They're going to go to a bowl game. But now it's about keeping that roster and keeping the future. And the future is the freshman. So you got to throw him in there. You got to see how he does. And, you know, maybe that does not put him in the transfer portal because he sat behind a senior transfer for the whole year.
Yep. All right. Hey, thanks for sitting in with me,
man.
Man,
it was a blast.
All right. We will see you all after the Thanksgiving holiday. Now, this is a weird schedule that we have. Tomorrow, Oregon basketball in the Players Era Festival will bump us off. We will have a half-hour best of edition of Danny and Dusty. We have Thanksgiving and that Friday off, so we will see you on Monday from noon to 3 back live and on the air. Primetime with Isaac and Suk, they will be on today at 4 o'clock, right around that 4 o'clock, depending on when the Oregon A&M game ends. And then tomorrow they should be on for about 3:30 is when their show should end. So coming up next, you got Oregon basketball taking on Texas A&M in the Players Era Festival Power Tournament. Have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe. Enjoy your family. Or don't enjoy your family. We know how that goes with some people. Up next, it's Oregon basketball. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Russian spacecraft.
They're doo-doo.
Shaden Sharks.